And so I'm going to actually start the talk today with a little short story. And it goes like this. Sir Michael Costa was a great orchestral conductor of the 19th century. It is said that he was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra was joined by a great choir. Midway through the session, the piccolo player stopped playing. It seemed innocent enough. After all, who would miss a tiny piccolo player amidst that great mass of instruments blazing away? All of a sudden, Sir Michael stopped the entire orchestra and the choir and said, "Stop, stop, where is the piccolo? What's happened to the piccolo?" We sometimes feel like that piccolo player. We don't have much to offer, and that if we cease to bring our authentic self and our spirit to the world, no one would really notice anyway. Yet the great conductor, the one, infinite one, notices and needs us to complete that orchestral masterpiece. And so the title of my talk today is All Hands on Deck. And I'm talking about the fact that we, each and every single one of us, are part of that great whole, part of the wholeness of life itself, that we are each significant and we are each necessary. We are each a necessary element to that whole of life. And when we bring the fullness of ourselves, the fullness of who we are into any situation or circumstance or gathering or anything, any relationship, what happens is it is somehow changed for the better. When we bring the fullness of who we are, our personality and our spirit and our gifts and our talents and our unique way of expressing them, when we bring all of that into any situation, it's changed for the better somehow. And that doesn't mean that we can fix everything that's going on in this world in this moment. But what it does mean is that when we bring the fullness of ourselves to any moment, we create a change and we are a cause for good in that moment, in that relationship, in that circumstance. And in turn, that makes the world a better place. You know, as human beings, we have a need within us to live authentically, to bring our whole and authentic selves to life, to bring our true selves into this world. We have a need to share who we are, to share those gifts and talents that we possess, to share our expertise, to share the unique way that we express those things like nobody else in this world does. We have a need to bring that into the world and to bring that into our life. And we have a need, because we're spiritual beings, to make this world a better place and to contribute to that better world. That's one of the reasons that we're here. That's one of the reasons that we walk this particular spiritual path that we're walking. Walking this particular spiritual path that we're on makes our lives better. Has this made anybody's life better that's in this room from walking this path you're on? It brings us more peace, and it allows us to have a greater experience of our own wholeness. It enables us to notice and to see and to witness the good that is around us all the time. And walking this particular path makes us better people. It makes us kinder, and it makes us more loving, and it makes us more generous with everyone, with the people that we know and the people that we don't know. Just in general, we are better people to everyone in this world. And that need that we have to contribute to the betterment of this world, to be a presence of good, that's one of the reasons that we want to help when natural disasters happen, like Hurricane Harvey and Irma that are going on. We want to help those that are in need. And it's not just us in this room. It's everyone has that desire and that need to help people when they're in crisis and when they're in need. I know you all have heard numerous stories in the last week of people who have gotten their own boats out and gone through flooded streets to save people who are stranded in their homes, to people volunteering in food shelters and places where people are staying, to Walmart delivering trucks and trucks and trucks of drinking water, and Walgreens supplying for free people with diapers and medicinal things that they have that people need. I heard about restaurants making food and delivering it to shelters. So many stories that we all want to help and we all want to contribute to the betterment. When disasters happen, when people are in crisis, it awakens something inside of us. It awakens the reality and the recognition that we are each interconnected with each other. It awakens the realization within us that we are each part of this whole of life, part of this fabric of humanity, part of this orchestra that is playing, even if we're just the piccolo. What happens when we have crisis is those boundaries dissolve of our differences. The differences don't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what political party you belong to or what race you are or what religion you are or what job you hold or where you live. All of those things cease to matter because our hearts get broken open. Our spirits get stirred up and awakened. As spiritual beings, we have this need to be a force for good. That gets awakened. And so in the book 365, Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says, "Real giving is the art of transmitting ourselves to others and to the conditions and the situations that surround us. This kind of giving is not something for special occasions only, for it should become a habit growing out of our desire to live life to the fullest extent. When we give of ourselves, we get a greater experience of life, and we're living life to a fuller extent." He says, "Only that which becomes an inward habit can spontaneously flow from the heart and transmit itself into everything we do." Do you notice when you give of yourself, when you share who you really are, when you share your gifts and talents and expertise and the things that you're good at, that you actually feel better? Do you notice that it actually makes you feel more alive and more involved in life and more part of? Do you notice that when you give or share of yourself in a way like that, you actually end up feeling more fulfilled? Do you notice that? That's because we're living from our authentic self. Not pretending that we're someone we're not, not thinking that we should be doing something, not trying to meet somebody else's expectations, but just bringing ourself to life. And then we get to feel filled up. Deepak Chopra, in his book, The Seven Laws of Spiritual Success, says, "Everyone has a purpose in life, a unique gift or a special talent to give to others. When we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and the exaltation of our own spirit, which is the ultimate goal of all goals." When we share our gifts and talents and expertise and who we are with the world, when it meets a need, it's magical. And we get to be the ones that get to be the recipients of so much of that good. And so what that means is we are called to be of service and to share ourselves and to make a difference in the world in a way that suits us individually, in a way that is born out of who we are authentically. We are called to make a difference in a way that uses our gifts and talents, that comes out of our passions, whatever we are passionate about in life, a way that uses our expertise and our own individual callings. And so I have a story to share with you about that this week. Comes out of Houston. The big disaster response teams are here, FEMA, the Red Cross, but alongside of them are a legion of individual volunteers who found themselves on the front lines of disaster response, like Dr. Jennifer McQuaid. Jennifer says, "This is completely outside of anything I've ever done." She's a melanoma oncologist at MD Anderson's Cancer Center. The first day, as Hurricane Harvey swamped Houston, she made her way to the shelter to donate blankets and socks. It was chaos. People were being brought in the back of dump trucks, soaking wet and wounded. There was no medical team in place. There was one first aid table that was set up, and it had some ibuprofen and Tylenol and a little bit of Neosporin and some Band-Aids. And that was it. So McQuaid made an urgent plea to a physician moms group on Facebook, which was 70,000 women strong. Right away, a doctor from Louisiana wrote back. McQuaid said, she asked me, "Are you running the medical shelter?" And I said, "No," and laughed. "I'm a medical oncologist. I'm absolutely not running a medical shelter." "Well, you are now," said the Louisiana doctor. She knew from her own experience during last year's Baton Rouge floods that you can't wait for the Red Cross and FEMA. Those take time. Anytime you're dealing with large organizations, they're amazing, but it takes time. So McQuaid took charge. And using the power of social media, she enlisted doctors and pharmacists and nurses to come and volunteer to bring supplies, everything from insulin to EKG machines. They responded in droves. Finally, she says, a good use for Facebook. She was using her unique gifts and talents and expertise and calling to make a difference because it was born out of who she is, uniquely who she is. And so we are called also to give out of what is uniquely ours and uniquely us, that is uniquely who we are. And not just when there are catastrophic emergencies, but we are called to do that all the time. That's part of our spiritual path, to be of service, to lend sacred service to people. All of the time. And so what stops us? What stops us from sharing and giving and sharing of our own selves all the time? I think one of them is that we get afraid that whatever it is that we have to give isn't enough, or that somehow we aren't enough. But I'll bet you all of us in the room know that starfish story about there's a boy walking on the beach and the starfish had washed up on the shore, and as far as he can see in either direction, there are starfish on the shore. And a man is walking on the beach that walks on the beach every day and is so amazed to see the starfish. And he sees this little boy picking him up, walking down the beach and throwing them into the water. And he says to the little boy, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing these starfish back in the ocean." He says, "But there must be tens of thousands. You can't possibly make a difference." And he bends down and picks another one up and throws it in. He says, "Well, it made a difference to that one." That's what we do. We make a difference to that one by playing our piccolo. And so that might mean simply giving someone a compliment. Or it might mean being fully present for someone who's having a hard time. Or it might mean giving someone a physical hand in something they're not able to do. It could mean a lot of things, and all of those things are necessary. Last week, Rich Callen told me that Patricia Sowers needed some help at her house, that she's having back pain and isn't able to do physical things, and she has 3 fig trees in her yard, and there's figs all over the driveway, and she's walking on the driveway, and he was concerned that she'd slip and fall. And I said, "I'm happy to go over and clean up figs. I like to do yard work. That's fine." So the next day, I called her on the phone, and she didn't answer, and I thought, I left her a message. I'm going to go ahead and go over there. So Colleen and I got the rakes and the shovels and the brooms and gloves and went over there and started, she wasn't home, and started cleaning up the figs. And she pulled up just about as we were almost done. So surprised, and it was so fun to get to see her. And of course she says, "You've done enough. Come sit down here on the porch and talk to me." And so we went and sat on the porch and probably talked for 45 minutes. And the truth is, that was the biggest gift. That's what she really needed, was for us to sit and visit her. And that's what we really needed, or what I really needed, to be connected to her and get to share that love. And it was fabulous. But it's sharing what is inside of us. We don't have to find something out there that somebody else says we should do. And I think that's the second thing that stops us, is we think we should be doing something else that someone else told us we should do, and it's somebody else's idea, that you should be volunteering in the soup kitchen, even though you're really shy and don't want to talk to people. You should be volunteering at the animal shelter. You love animals, but you're allergic to dogs. It's somebody's outside idea, and that stops us from contributing what is ours to contribute. But what you have to contribute is part of the mosaic of life, and your part is needed. And so whatever it is that is yours to do should be a stretch. That's stretching us and growing us spiritually, but it also should be a fit for you. And you'll know that it's yours to do because it fits. Because it's part of who you are. Because it's natural to what you love to do and what's important to you and what you're good at, all those things. And I've shared this story with you, but I want to share it again because it's just so appropriate. Years ago, I had a friend, Sharon, who had cancer. And at that time, there was a group of women, probably about 8 women, who all surrounded her and really helped her. And they signed up to do things and divvied out chores, and people went grocery shopping, and people cleaned the house, and people did the laundry, and people helped do all these things. And I sat and talked with her. And I remember giving myself a really hard time. I should be doing those things, running those errands and cleaning the house. But the truth was, my role was to talk with her about the fact that she was probably going to die. Nobody else could talk with her about dying and what that meant and how that felt to her. I was the one that could hold that space and do that. So that was my part to do. And so we each have our part to do when there's disasters and every day in our world. And I read another story that is just about that also, and it's about Hurricane Harvey. And it says, a volunteer food collective is in frenzied swing in Houston. Chefs are preparing huge pans of roast chicken and sliced pork shoulder with gravy to be sent to first responders and evacuees in Houston and all over Southeast Texas. They've cooked up tens of thousands of meals. To coordinate, a volunteer logistics team created a website. It lets them match restaurants that have food to donate with those who need it. One woman, Claudia Solis, works at that end of things. She's exhausted, and she's so grateful. Now, as Hurricane Irma approaches Florida, the Houstonians are sharing what they learned from Harvey. They're talking with the restaurant community in Florida, telling them, organize as much as you can ahead of time. Line up kitchens and transport and volunteers. Social media will be your best friend. Above all, don't wait. So they weren't just sharing their passion of creating food. They were also sharing their knowledge of what they gained from this last one and their expertise. What happens when we share the whole of who we are, then it turns discord into harmony. It makes the world a better place. It helps with what's going on. It helps create that world that works for everyone. And so my question to you is, what are you called to do or to be or to share or to give to make a difference for those who have been affected by these hurricanes? What are you called to do or be or share? Can you think of something? What are you called to give or share or do for this in your daily life? What are you called to do or share or give to your spiritual community? What are you called to give or share or do in the community that you live in? We are called all of the time to share ourselves. We are each part of that great whole of life, each part of that tapestry of humanity, each part of spirit expressing itself as the all. When we express our true self, when we express who we were born to be, it makes a positive impact on the whole. Not just those that are right around us, but on the whole as well. And so I'd like to close with a story. Vienna, Europe, the period leading up to World War II. Three Jewish psychiatrists, two learned masters in the field, and one young apprentice. The first master is a man named Sigmund Freud. He has spent years studying people, striving to understand what makes us tick. He's reached the conclusion that the most basic drive in human beings is the drive for pleasure. It is our need for pleasure that explains why we do what we do. The second master is Alfred Adler. He, too, has spent years studying human behavior. His studies have led him to disagree with Sigmund Freud. Adler is convinced that the bottom line explanation for human behavior is power. All of us grow up feeling inferior and powerless. Life is a drive to gain control, to feel that we are important. The third man is a young up-and-coming psychiatrist by the name of Viktor Frankl. He hopes to follow in the footsteps of his mentors. But before his career gains any momentum, World War II starts. The Nazis invade, and it's dangerous for Jews. Freud and Adler are world-renowned scholars and so manage to escape before Hitler invades. Frankl is not so lucky. He is arrested and thrown into a Nazi concentration camp for 4 long years. After the war is over, Frankl is released from the concentration camp and resumes his career. He reflects upon his time as a prisoner. He notices something quite strange. The people who survived were not always the ones you'd expect. Many who were physically strong wasted away and died, while others who were much more weak physically grew strong and survived. Why? What was it that enabled them to hang on through that living hell? Frankl reflected on the theories of his mentors. Freud's pleasure principle certainly couldn't explain it. For 4 desperate and terrible years, the men in the camp knew only pain, suffering, and degradation. Pleasure was not a word in their vocabulary. It wasn't pleasure that kept them going. What, then, of Adler's theory about power being the basic human need? That didn't fare well either. Frankl and his fellow Jews were completely powerless during their time in the concentration camps. They had no power and no prospect of power. Viktor Frankl came up with his own theory. The difference between those who survived and those who perished was hope. Those who survived never gave up their belief that their lives had meaning. That despite everything going on around them, one day it would end and they would live meaningful, purposeful lives. What is the basic human drive? The one that gives life value? The ability to live with a sense of meaning. Not pleasure, not power, meaning. When we share ourselves with the world, it gives our lives meaning. It gives us meaning. When we share our gifts and our talents and our expertise and come from whatever our passions are and make a difference, it gives us meaning. That's what life is about. And so my invitation to you is to live as your authentic self, the whole of who you are, not pretending to be someone society says you should be or your family says you should be, but just bring yourself to life and share yourself with others around you. Be who you were born to be in a way that's generous, in a way that's open. Bring that self, who you were born to be, to the world. Share that wherever you go. And in turn, the world will be transforming one moment at a time to absolutely being this world that we want to live in. And so thank you again for saying yes to that call of the divine within you to be a beneficial presence and to bring your spirit into this world in a way that is impactful. I thank you, and blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we answer that call of our own spirits to remember, to turn back to that truth of beingness, that yes, indeed, that infinite presence of that most holy one is right here. That presence of love and the presence of peace, the truth of absolute wholeness and the truth of good, that is the nature of life. That is the nature of who we are. That is the core and the essence of our spirit. The essence of that which we have come from and that which we have come as. And so, yes, indeed, I recognize that we are here to make a difference. We are here to share ourselves, our whole selves. We are here to share who we've come here to be. And that, just doing that, is a blessing to everyone around us. Doing that is a blessing to us in our own lives, for in that we feel filled up and we make an impact wherever we go. And so I know that today we are each open at the top, open hearts and open minds and open hands for that divine presence to flow through and out into this world as love, as care and kindness and concern, as sharing of our good and sharing of our wisdom and our insights and our love and our hands. That this is what we are called to do. That this is a part of our spiritual path. And so we say yes to that call within us to be this presence here in form. That is why we've incarnated. And that is what we share. And what a blessing it is. And so I also speak this word right now about every single person who has been and is being affected by these hurricanes. Right now, knowing that the presence of that infinite one is right where they are, that it is unfolding itself as the meeting of every single need, that it is unfolding through every single volunteer and every single worker and every single person that is lending a hand and every single person whose heart is being touched. That the divine is unfolding itself as the fulfillment of every need met. Food is available and healthcare is available and safety is available. That the presence of the infinite wraps itself around each person as a protective shield, as wisdom guiding them and directing them to be exactly where they need to be. And so it is with absolute faith and trust that I release this word into that infinite law of life, which is the infinite law of my own beingness and of each of our beingness. And so we let this prayer go, and in gratitude for all of this, we give thanks. And so it is.